Well, good evening, and thank you very much for having us. And apologize from my wife and children. They wish I'd been here, but it's been terrible trying to get them into a routine. They're into school, and every time we're back, it takes about 2 or 3 days to get them back into bedtime. So I apologize, but they send their love. And I'm sure I've already passed them on that they were going to be missed, so I've told them that. Got a few photos for Mana here as well, so she doesn't miss Bolivia and what she sees. Yeah, and I've got a few more information about Bolivia, so keep your ears peeled. Fundación Totay. Totay is a type of tree that is very resistant to adverse conditions. That's why we chose the name of that one. This is our key motto: by their fruit you shall recognize them. And you say, well, that's a scary motto, isn't it? Because we all produce fruit. If we produce fruit, if not, we're going to be thrown in the fire. But then when we look at our fruit, are they good or are they bad? And it's a constant reminder that we need to be focused on actually what we're doing, that is all for the glory of God, and that is all honoring His name. Bolivia, you will know, you've seen very, I'm very impressed. We always get the bulletins. It's really nice to get the bulletins to know that there are people praying. Honestly, and they always come at the right time. You know why? They just... we know that you're praying, and we really get uplifted, and we feel, I don't know how to explain that, but we know when people are praying, and we really appreciate that. So please do keep sending them. It was very good to see as well all the details that you put there. I don't know who did it, but please thank on our name whoever did all that work. And they even had a map of Bolivia very similar to this, with Bolivia in the middle for tonight, and a contact email number again as well. So if you don't remember, the emails are going to appear there. Look in your bulletin or look in the prayer list for tonight, and you'll see it. So that is Bolivia, landlocked country, very big country, about 4 times the size of the UK. If you see from the air, from the satellite, now this is the first thing I want you to remember. These are the Andes, very, very high mountains there. We're talking about over, the Bolivia's got 16, as in 16 peaks over 6,000 meters. That's over 12,000 feet, to give you an idea. But we are in the completely opposite side of land, on the really flat land and lowland. About there. So if you see from a close-up, that's where we are. There's a river that goes all the way to Amazon. This Trinidad Beni, which is the city we work in, is a bit closer up, and that's where we actually work. That we are up there. Up there somewhere where Trinidad ends, and it's all Amazonian prairies. So it's all flat lands, all the rivers. And when it's so flat, that makes that during the rainy season, we flood. All these rivers flood, and the water's got nowhere to go. So we end up being underwater, and a lot of people lose their houses, and they have to move away. There are cities in the midst of it. This is the main square in Trinidad. But as soon as you get outside the ring road or the center of town, you are in the middle of the Amazonian prairies. There you are. That's for you, man. There's a place where you see the photos, all these exotic animals going, your toucans and your sloths, your blue paraba, and river dolphins, capybaras. Unfortunately, the armadillos are not so easily seen now because people hunt them to eat them. Yes, so they're not that common. There are other animals that you may not like to see, like those, but those are there too. Just to give you an idea of the anaconda, that's a lady's leg there, a shoe, can you see? A leg, the other leg's been cut off. It's about 6 meters long. And that is obviously not proportion, yeah? This is just about the size of a hand can be there. And unfortunately, they're very common, and your mosquitoes, of course. This is Trinidad. Food in the streets, very poor housing. Market. This is an open sewer in the middle of the market where you buy your all your food and all your clothes. So you need to be very careful with hygiene. You can't imagine why Bolivia is the poorest country in South America. South America, as you well said, people always think on missions. They think of Africa first, Southeast Asia. Then they think of the eastern countries of Europe. And then they think of South America. And so it's a forgotten subcontinent, if you want, because we're not that bad, as people say. But it's that middle in between, an abandoned area, makes it really hard country to be a witness in. The country, I don't know if you ever heard anything in the news, the countries at present at the worst state has been since we've been actually in Bolivia. And this is over 10 years now that Joe's been, and I've been over 8 years. Very rarely we get any news in the UK about Bolivia. I've already, in 8 years, I've been through 6 different presidents. Bolivia's got a record, it's in the Guinness Book of Records, of the country with more coup d'etats in the world. It's about 180 something. And the country is divided. It's 9 regions. 5 of them are pro-government. 4 of them are against the government. These are the lowlands. These are the highlands. This is where the Andes are. Now, all the production, all your crops, all your natural gas, all your petrol is in the lowlands. And the lowlands want to have a sort of an autonomy, an economic autonomy. And obviously, the central government doesn't like that because they want to have the control over the riches of the country. So what they're doing, they split the country politically, but not only politically. They've tried to divide it in the way of race, the way of beliefs, in the way of the color of the people. The more indigenous people versus the not so indigenous people. Bolivia, this is the president, a former coca leaf worker and then trader and then leader of the trade unions. Then he became an opposition to any government and started blocking roads, end up in prison. And in countries like Bolivia, someone like that can end up being the president. How? If you got the right friends. He's dead now. His hand was a communist leader of El Salvador. This is Mr. Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela, who is a lot to say for why Bolivia is in the state is. This is Fidel Castro from Cuba. The other allies, this Mr. Ahmadinejad, who is the president of Iran. These are the allies of Bolivia. Ortega from Nicaragua, from the paramilitary and the guerrilla. The Chinese premier. China has bought the production of iron for the next 10 years of Bolivia. Mr. Vladimir Putin from Russia. Mr. Muammar Gaddafi, the president of Libya. You remember the Lockerbie bombing? Well, these are Bolivia's allies. So guess where we're going? We're going communist. That's where the country's going. I don't know what the plans has got for Bolivia. We just need to watch it closely. You won't hear anything in the news until they're dead. So if you want to know more, BBC World in the internet or even the shortwave, they probably can give you some news there if you want to keep an eye. But BBC World in the internet is fine. There's a referendum in August and end up in this. In clashes, people against people, blocking roads, burning everything, taking the offices, government offices. This is August and September 2008. This is not 5 years ago. It's just a month ago. And this month, this is what is end up in. On 12th September, not even, well, exactly a month today, things got to a terrible end. This is what I'm talking about. Race against race. The whitest against the more indigenous. The indigenous against the whitest. The government decides to send the army into the streets. It's not a very good photo, but then the opposition gets the guns out. Then the army gets trigger happy. It's called the cameraman there, just taking all the photos. People end up dead. Martial law in the state of Pando, which is the north of Beni, where we are. 30 dead, over 100 people missing. And that is the latest what happening. How does people get affected for this? The first thing, the roadblocks, no food, no gas, no petrol, a lot of queues. Now the roads have been, for the last week, the roads have been open. There's been an impasse, like a time of thinking and trying to sit down and negotiate again. So please pray that both sides will actually sit down and really negotiate. They sat down only because the international observers have put a lot of pressure. The UN has put a lot of pressure on them to sit down and try to solve this problem peacefully, because civil war has been in the cards and is still not ruled out. So please pray for that. People complaining and demonstrating the street. This is not petrol. This is people trying to find out cooking oil to be able to subsist. 2 weeks ago, I've changed it. 2 weeks ago, this said here, food for one more week in Trinidad, where we were. The airport was shut. The roads were shut, so you couldn't get in or out of the country. Now that they've been open, still not much into it, but at least there's a bit more of hope. So that's the state of Bolivia. That's where we work. Now, this is where the headquarters is. It's a very nice building that it was only open on the 23rd of April last year. It's called Casa Margaret. Casa Margaret means house, or Margaret's house. Margaret is Margaret Somerville. Was a lady who really feared the Lord. When she died, and her legacy decided to talk to the relatives to do something positive and for the Lord's ministry, and their family actually did it for Bolivia. That's May Young, her daughter, one of her daughters. So that's where we are. If you want to visit what we're actually doing, that's our webpage, totaifoundation.com. Very easy to remember. This is our mission statement. This is what we do. Proclaiming the gospel of Christ, providing local services at low cost, and promoting the integral training of the workers. There's a board. We we got established as a national Bolivian charity only in October 2004. Will be just 4 years now at the end of this month. It's a board there with three nationals and three foreigners, but this is the whole team behind it. It's 31 people as we speak, 21 people on the payroll, all Bolivians, and 10 voluntary workers, all Bolivian foreigner, all five foreigners and five Bolivian people as well. So that's all the people who actually work in the foundation. So it's a big team behind. It's not just two or three people there. Quite a lot of people who depend on the charity to keep going. The four missionary families, Kenny Holt from Peebles in the borders, Claudia, she's Bolivian. They call Emma, they call Sarah, and there is a baby on the way who will be is due next month, so please pray for that. Imagine the worries of Claudia as you bring a baby in a country that's not very safe. Casey's from the States, Michael is from Bolivia. She's again trying to be still and peaceful because the government has kicked out of the country the U.S. ambassador. So there's no U.S. ambassador to Bolivia as we speak. There is no Bolivian ambassador to U.S. either. The U.S. states kicked them as well. So nobody to go to if she needs to get any political asylum. Rachel Nee Peebles is now Rachel Tube from Busby, commended from Carsbridge, and Alan or Chicho. That's us. So that's our girls. This is very recent, about 2 months ago. This is Elena. She's 7. Hillary, 5. And Antonina, or Noemi Antonina, she's 3. So that's our family. That's Joe, in case you don't know Joe. So that's all of us. Send the greetings. There is a UK board for the foundation. These are the four men who are actually on the board. The board was raised in Scotland nearly 18 months after it was raised in the UK, in Bolivia. Now, I want to ask you for prayers for Neil Young. Just this Monday, we heard very sad news that he's been diagnosed. He's 55, diagnosed of kidney cancer spread to liver and bones. So the prognosis is not very good. So please pray for him. Pray for all his family, for me, for his children, for his son-in-law and daughter-in-law as well. I used to put here a support circle. This is what we normally ask for. Someone in any church that we go to, any congregation, if you want to be the link person, to receive, we produce a monthly update for prayer updates. And every 6 months, we produce a more detailed activities report so you can pray more effectively. So I used to put here May's email. I've just changed that this week just to give it a bit of a break. So that will go straight into Bolivia. But in this case, you will already be in contact. It shouldn't be much of a problem. But please do pray for all the situation on the young family. It's really hard to know how to pray and how to understand the Lord's plan. You know, such a young man going. So I would appreciate that. Thank you. Now, what do we do? What does Fundación Tutaí do? This is our key verse. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. That's in John 15, verse 8. We want to remember that if we are being commanded by God to produce fruit, it's not as a choice. We're being commanded to give fruit. We are being commanded to give good fruit. But once we give those fruits, we need to be reminded of who actually produces the growth and who produces the fruits. And if we don't want to take any glory from the Lord. So anything good you see here, please praise the Lord and thank the Lord because he's been graceful enough to do his work in Bolivia, as I like to say, despite us. Because sometimes we're more of a hindrance, you know, than a help for the Lord's plans. Based on Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, we divide in three parts what we actually do. Go in and make disciples of all nations. The going is the easy part for us because we produce a lot of service. I'm a doctor, I'm an ENT, ears, nose and throat surgeon, so that's my part of my work, and I train as a GP as well because there are no GPs in Bolivia as we understand them here. So a lot of people will come straight to you with all varieties of things. They come to your door without being referred by anybody, just anybody comes through the door. So that gives us a lot of opportunities. This is the center. People don't queue in Bolivia. They just get to the reception and try to get served. We go to the pediatric hospital to do, trying to do screening for people with children, babies with problems of deafness. We go to the opposite side of town, and we have a peripheral clinic there. We operate at the regional military hospital because we don't have operating theaters, which, again, that is a big problem. I'll tell you a bit more about that afterwards. We provide health not only in the health establishment but in educational establishments, because otherwise nobody will go there. The equivalent of the National Health Service in Bolivia only provides for under fives, over 60s, and ladies who are pregnant. So all the brackets in between are left to be catered by themselves. So we go to nurseries, go to mainstream schooling, go to special schools. There's a school for the deaf in Trinidad. School for the deaf in Riberalta is about 600 kilometers away from where we are. And we go with health not only in health establishments, educational establishments, but also in the community. Health fairs, we go into factories and do screening there, go into the orphanages, into the prisons. When a man or a woman goes to prison in Bolivia, most of them opt out to take their spouse and the children into prison because there are no social services in place. And if they haven't got any relatives to take the children out to school, they wouldn't get any schooling. So we get them out and give them health as well, health provision, and try to give them some teaching. And we go into rural communities. In Trinidad, you can get access to some sort of health care. As soon as you get outside Trinidad, then the problems of getting health care is a bit bigger. A few figures just thrown in. Here, Bolivia is a program that we partner with a charity, an international charity called CBM, Christian Blind Mission, 100 years old this year. We've partnered with them for nearly 3 years now. These are the numbers for the year. So we do the provision in the community. House of Hearing in Edinburgh has helped us. We're the first ones to share the vision. They gave us the equipment to do hearing tests. This is in CBM helped us with the surgical equipment to do operate ears. Total numbers from 2006, which when we moved to this new area in the north of Trinidad, this is from 30th of September, so it's not quite 3 years, more than 67,000 consultations, more than 11,000 different patients. The population of Trinidad is 100,000. So in less than 3 years, more than 1 in 10 people have actually been in contact with us in one way or another. So we don't cope. Please pray that the Lord will send workers, because the harvest is definitely plentiful. To give you an idea, this is the average consultation from 2004 within all the health professionals. In 2008, we're already 122. That's the average per day. If you look at the total numbers, we already nearly as much as all last year. This is up to still with a quarter of the year missing. And we still need to send people away because we cannot cope with them. Now, it's not only health. There's sports as well. You heard of Kenny Holt. There's a wonderful ministry called Sports Are Rich Bolivia. By making friends in the local community, by teaching them to play, by going to schools, mainstream schools, or special schools who don't have PE teachers, the staff in the sports area go and actually provide them the physical education that they need. We also embarked in the local leagues. We only do under 15s teams and children. We work with children to try to educate and get them out of the streets. So that's the teams in football, the teams in basketball. All the basketball teams are actually called GO because of this verse we're talking about. And not only health and sports, we also try to do as much in the community as we can, practical things. This is Kenny's wife, Claudia, teaching English in a local nursery. She also teaches at the School for the Deaf Arts and Crafts in the community on the Saturday afternoons. They help to train the ladies to be able to produce things that they can actually sell and help with the home economy. This is the first arts and crafts community fair last year with all the girls in the community. We do biblical expository training. We do early stimulation with a program for prevention of deafness. We wanted to detect as soon as possible, as early as possible, a child who's deaf to be able to help them. But then the School for the Deaf will only take them from age 5.5 to 6. So on one hand, we're trying to detect them early, and then we cannot do anything with them. So at the end, we had to, with a trained teacher and a teacher trainer, we had to implement an early stimulation program so that those years that we're trying to save the children so they can be trained, they can be receive some training. We do a lot of health training at all levels, primary health care, special health care, the equivalent of the GP, pre- and postgraduate training. Recognize that face? She's in Paris. Send her our love when you see her. That's Ruth. So we, a lot of people come and do their electives, medical electives. Student nurses come as well. Some people come for, as a work experience. And they work hard, I can tell you, but they seem to enjoy because they keep coming back. If you know of anyone interested, just give them our email. Local community. This is a prison ministry I was telling you about. So we teach them, try to give them some food supplements. We've had for the last 2 years terrible floodings during the rainy season from March, so from November till March. This is a car there, what you can see of it. There's a man there. Not all the places are as bad as that. Where we were, the water just got to the entrance but didn't get in. Some places are slightly higher than others. So this is the worst place. Yeah? We provide what? We provide medicines, blankets, food, anything that comes to our hands, we try to provide. Now, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are a charity, but we're not a church. So what do? We support the local church. The local church is called El Jireh or Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. This was the church when it started. That's how we started, under a tree. The tree is still there. We meet in a hut. There's still, that's the hut inside now, in 2008. We get on a Sunday morning, the family service is between 60, 70 children every Sunday and between 25, 30 adults every Sunday. This is our Sunday school here. Outside, when it rains, they go to the charity building and we give them shelter there. This is Kenny Holt preaching there. They've got 1 o'clock. They are very helpful. We have a very, very close relationship with the church. Most people who go to the charity have got some links with the local church. And when we receive, especially food, things that need to be given away quickly, otherwise they will perish, we pass them straight away to the church because they know the needs of the community better than us. Baptizing, this was 31st of August, very recent. Try to help them with the neighborhood Christian cinemas, with youth work. So it's just a normal church, just in a very hot and humid place. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. How do we teach? With the school of sports, is very easy because apart from the training, they get biblical teaching. This is a voluntary worker. He's actually from Australia with Casey, our American missionary. So there's a one-on-one supervision. So they don't get thrown away, volunteers. And we always have a one-on-one supervision for the volunteers who come. This is a volunteer from Northern Ireland helping with the football school and giving actually the Bible lesson that day, again supervised by Sam. We have a meditation, Bible meditation every morning before we start work. From 8 till half 8. At half 8, we've got all the staff announcements. And by personal witnessing. That's probably our best way of teaching when you are in health. If you've ever been to a health center, you can imagine a Monday morning being at the reception, all the people present. So please pray for the people at the forefront. Very easy to lose your witness. So please pray for them. We try to help the community and during the holiday, the school holidays, by getting holiday Bible clubs, by Bible studies. And by trying to create a way of a friendly environment so people can come and ask and say, why are you doing this? Why are you in Bolivia? Everybody in Bolivia wants to go to Spain. I'm actually not from Bolivia. I'm from Spain. I'm from Tenerife, actually. So when they hear, why are you in Tenerife? Why are you not in Tenerife? Why are you here? When everybody wants to go to Italy, to the States, or to Spain. So trying to keep an open approach. We've now opened for the last month. We've got an hour. We used to call it a counseling hour, but that scared people away. Because the counselor, what's wrong with you? So now we call it the praying hour, which we thought was going to deter more people coming. And it's amazing all the people that come for counseling at the praying hour. So it's interesting, yeah? Now, just a reminder, to see what the Lord's done is really, to give you an idea how quick, how much has developed. From 29th of October to today, this is what's happened. This was our first contact in October 2004. The local community, that was the neighborhood leaders. We had a meeting with them. We explained to them what the plan was, what we wanted to offer. They went ahead. They really liked what the idea was. So the foundation, the charity, bought this land, which is, that's where it was. That's Totai Street. The neighborhood named the street. It wasn't us. You need to see the street with the eye of faith. Here comes the street. Yeah, that's Totai Street now. In 2005, the hut was the first building there. the church, and there was a health post. Then we moved here. This is the dentist's house. We didn't have a building, so the dentist had built a house for himself and lent it to us for 18 months. Imagine, you build your house, you're ready to move it in, and because we didn't have a place, he said, you can have it. And so we were there for 18 months. Then we started building in 2006. That's the building commencing. The two streets go a bit better. Then in 2007, that was the opening. That's what you saw there. That's official opening. This is the mayor of town, the local authorities. That's all the opening ceremony there, and just over a year ago. And then 2008, when we do the planning, in October, we do the planning for the following year. And the key word for 2008 was consolidation. We didn't want to grow anymore because we couldn't cope with more growth. But we had the problem with the operating theaters, and there was a donation for to start operating theaters. So phase one, which is the outpatients, this is phase two, which is the operating theaters. Because of the country being such a turmoil, been a lot of speculations, and prices have, some things have doubled, some things have trebled. So we've run out of money. So construction has been stopped. As we speak, has been stopped about 10 days. To finish the roof before the rainy season starts next month, it's now £5,000 needed. To finish all the construction, now £30,000. To equip the operating theatres, now £30,000. So it's a lot to pray for there. This is the street now being paved by the local authorities. Why do we need an operating theatre? This is where we are, at the north of Trinidad. This is where we operate, at the military hospital. And this is where we have the peripheral clinic, where we have the operating microscope that we need for surgery. Now, every time when we go to operate, we need to go and pick up the operating microscope. Then from there, we go to the operating theaters in the military hospital, get everything there. The nurses have been there the day before with all the clothes, the shoes, the small instruments, all your gauze, and all that can be transported in small vehicles. We finish the operating theater session. Then we need to take the operating microscope back to the peripheral clinic because it needs to be used the next day. And then we go back to the operating theater, get the nurses, get everybody, everything that's left, and have to go back to it. So you can imagine it's neither adequate, it's expensive for the patients because we need to pay for those operating theaters. It's not safe. If anything happens during after an operation, we cannot go back that night to operate. So far, so good, but you can imagine it's not a very quiet night after surgery. If it rains, because we need to take the microscope in the back of that truck, we cannot do it. We have to cancel. If the Venezuelan doctors who are allies with the president come, they cancel our operating sessions. So it's a lot of inconvenience there that we will probably need to go back to that because it's the only thing that we can do. People are actually pressing and there's a lot of need. And people need to be operated. We cannot just let them be there without operating. So it's a lot to pray for. I really appreciate all your prayers. There's a lot to know to pack there. So be ready for the questions from Mana. Just a reminder, remember it's our duty to do that, to produce fruit, showing ourselves to be his disciples. Thank you very much.